so sick of this. It's been 2 years.
I just don't get it.
Last week we started a series called Why, and we're tackling some very common but very difficult questions. And I don't think there's a person here who hasn't asked why, you know, of the world or why of, you know, why of God at one time or another in their lives. Last week we talked about the question, why don't we always feel God's presence? Next week we're going to talk about what I think is probably the most common question I'm asked, and perhaps maybe you've asked too. Sometimes it comes to the form of why isn't God fair? Or maybe the common way to ask it is, why do such bad things happen to good people? You know, we don't tend to happen, why do good things happen to bad people? But why do bad things happen to good people? So we're gonna talk about that. And then the last week, we're going to talk about probably my most asked question for myself is, why would God use somebody like me? With all my doubts, all my fears, all my insecurities, all my sinfulness, why would God use somebody like me? And maybe you've asked that, and maybe you're thinking, would God ever use me? I encourage you, be here for the rest of the series. And today we're going to look at, again, one of the most commonly asked questions is, why didn't God answer my prayer? Now, I understand there's a little nuance here. People say, well, he did answer, he just said no. It's okay. But I think you understand what I'm saying. Why, something you urgently prayed for, and we're gonna look at that. You asked him for something, you knew he could do it, you knew that he had the power to do it, you felt like he should do it, and I'll tell you, and yet if you're like many people, maybe it rattled your faith a little bit, and you felt like, hey, God could do this. I've had some of those in recent days. There's some things that I really feel like, okay, God's going to do this. And can I tell you one? It was the Soroha, Sherney. That was one. I had all the faith in the world. God's going to work this out. When she was putting it, I thought, 2 weeks, she's going to be gone. Right, Tony? I mean, we just thought. I thought, are you kidding me? But God didn't answer it. And then I thought, oh, God, she's going to stay. She's going to be here. And now, you know, she's in Indonesia, and I'm thinking, I don't get it. I mean, honestly, I don't get it. I've had other things where I thought, okay, God, even like something in ministry, I thought, okay, God, you want to do this. This is something absolutely you want to do. I mean, this is just a matter of me having the faith to just believe you. It doesn't happen. And I know people who've had their faith really rattled, kind of like, well, if that's the way God's going to answer, the way God's going to treat me, then forget God. I mean, why even ask him? You know, I can do this well by myself. And even especially when we read verses like John 14, 13 and 14, where he says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You read a verse like that, and you go, man, and it's like, wow, it just bolsters your faith. But then you think, wow, but I asked God for something. I asked God for this, and I asked it in Jesus' name, and I knew God could do it, and he could do anything. And then we read stories in the Bible. You know, I mean, you think of what you're asking God for. Joshua, you know, prayed that the sun would stand still, and it did. You know, that's like, hey, God, I'm not asking you for sons to stand still. I'm just asking you for, you know, help me get a job, right? And then you read about Daniel, you know, and, you know, he's thrown into the lion's den, and Daniel prays, and here's all these hungry lions decide to, you know, do Weight Watchers, you know, and it's like they stop eating. What's with that? And Jonah, disobedient to God. I mean, he's totally not doing what God told him to do. Totally disobedient. What is God? You know, he prays. God protects him, has this little, you know, fish come by, swallow him up, and hand him, you know, right, put him right there on shore. You know, no lightning bolt for disobedience. No, that's it, Jonah, you're out of the picture. And you think, and now I pray and nothing happens. So what's the problem? What am I doing wrong? You know, I like to tell you, you know, all those stories. I love to tell you stories where I pray and God answers prayer, or where other people pray and God answers prayer. But I got to tell you, you know, I've prayed a lot of prayers where I didn't get an answer. I mean, or I got a no answer, you know. I mean, from trivial things like praying, okay, for this, God help our team to win, right? You guys ever pray those prayers? Or much more importantly, I mean, I've prayed for God to heal people and had them die. I've prayed that marriages would survive. If I counsel, every couple I counsel, and many I don't, I pray, oh God, help them, have them break apart, you know. I've prayed for parents to have children. They're begging to have children, kind of like the highlight of that video kind of illustrates that. Thinking, oh God, help them. They want to have children. They want to raise them to glorify you. Nothing. And I think, wow. Now, the point of this message isn't to illustrate how pathetic I am at praying. As I forget David, I'm not going to have him pray anymore. He's, you know. But the fact of the matter is I want you to understand, I understand that pull. I understand that agony. I understand that difficulty. You know, and I guess it's just a matter of me being a little vulnerable. I mean, last week saying, okay, here I am as your pastor, right? Supposed to have this close connection, this right email direct from God. You know, I'm right in his network. And sometimes there's been times I haven't felt his presence, you know, right? I've had people sometimes even, you know, they're sick in the hospital and I'll walk in the room and say, oh, you're here. And I think to myself, if they knew how pathetic I really am, they might not be so excited, right? Or that if they knew my track record. Hey, sometimes I prayed prayers and God said no. Sometimes God said wait, but sometimes I just feel like, wow, has God answered? And some of you have prayed prayers for health. Some of you have prayed prayers for a job. Some of you have prayed prayers for children, and it didn't happen. And so again today, I want to bring some biblical context. For me to take time to really, you know, answer this completely, and all the little nuances and all the little circumstances of a situation like this, you know, it would be ridiculous. I mean, I wouldn't have the time, you know, if we were here all day. But I do want to bring some biblical context and framework and thinking to this very, very important question. And again, I won't be able to answer this exhaustively, but I want to give you, again, some guidelines as to why maybe God didn't answer some of your prayers. And I hope this is of help. If you're a guest, I just want to mention I have a little listening guide inside your bulletin. Feel free to follow that along if you'd like, if that's helpful. If that's distracting, just leave it tucked in there. But why didn't God answer my prayer? From the scriptures, one of the ones that I want to mention right here at the top is that one reason why God might not have answered your prayers, maybe you have a broken relationship. Now, I'm not talking about a broken relationship with God. I'm talking about a broken human relationship. And you think, wait a minute, what in the world does my relationship with people have to do with prayer? And I'm going to show you a couple of verses, some that are kind of indirect about this, and then one that is very, very direct. So I want you to look at these passages that I think will help us. As we look at these, you're going to see that our horizontal relationship definitely affects our vertical relationship with God. Our relationship with people affects our relationship with God. And so in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, the verse under that point there, it says this, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Oh, now if that was it, wouldn't that be just great? Verse 25, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." In other words, you're coming to God, and you wait, and Jesus is talking about you praying, and he's saying, pray in my name, pray, whatever you ask, believe, and you'll receive it. And then all of a sudden, he introduces our human relationships. And he says, oh, but in all that praying, take care of your human relationships first. Deal with that first, then come back and we'll get things straightened out. Isn't that amazing? You say, I mean, isn't God more important than people? Jesus says, if you have a problem in a relationship, deal with that first as you're praying to me. And in 1 John 4:20, it also says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. In other words, he's saying, you know, have you ever met somebody who just says, I can't stand people? Now, I'm kind of a people person. I like to be around people. People energize me. Some of you are not that way. That's just the way God made you. Some of you, you get around people and they just suck the life out of you. But have you ever met somebody who says, I just hate people? And God says, hey, if you say you hate people, you can't really say you love me. I mean, these people are made in my image. Yeah, they might be irritating. Yeah, they might have personality conflicts. But anybody who says, I hate that person, doesn't understand God's love. And he says, you know, you can't say you love God and hate people. Our relationships with people, again, affect our relationships with God. Where else do we see this? Jesus said in Matthew 5, 23 and 24, he says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Sometimes I'll mention this even at communion. Now, that's not an offer. You know, it's not an offering, a sacrifice like that. But it is our time to come before the Lord and to remember. And I'll say, hey, make sure as we're examining our hearts that things are right before you and God. Now, you might be thinking, okay, where does God draw the line? I mean, okay, it says don't hate, but can I be irritated with somebody and God will hear me? You know, can I be ticked off but not hate them? You know, I mean, where's the line, right? I mean, because we want to be able to have some kind of, you know, how ticked off can I be and have you still answer my prayers for crying out loud? I don't know. He doesn't tell us, you know, but one thing I know, he says that our relationships with people affect our relationship with God. When Jesus was asked, what's the number one rule? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah, okay, we are all good with that. Yep, I could see that. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. What does one have to do with the other, you think? God puts those together. The guy didn't even ask for the top two. He asked for the top one. But Jesus couldn't help but just mentioning that, hey, we live God's love out with other people. So, you know, what do you do? Those of you with their parents, you ever been riding with your kids and they're fighting? It's like, not you guys not, but ours occasionally have done that in the past. And you're driving along and they're bigger and they're fighting. But mom, he's on my side. They're poking back and forth. And then they ask you for something. Hey, can we go get frozen yogurt? You know, and first, of course, you start with the threats. My parents did it. I told myself I wouldn't, but I started, don't make me pull this car over, right? Why do we say that? As if we're going to do that. We're in too much of a hurry anyway. Don't make me pull this car over. You know, so we start with that. And then we just start smacking. You know, we're just like, we're driving and just, you know, we're just, right? Just, and we don't care who we don't care who's guilty or innocent. We just want to get something back there. Just, you know, and you're right. And then, can we stop for frozen and yogurt? It's like, no. Why? Why can't we stop for frozen and yogurt? Because you guys are fighting. And I'm not trying to put God, you know, down to our level, but I want to illustrate that. I think our relationships were so important with each other that sometimes God says, no. I'm not going to provide that until you get what's really most important to me, and that is your relationships, right? Your relationship with me, your relationship with other people, that's more important. And do you know people who, you know, act all spiritual and all high and mighty and other places, and then when they get to home, you know, they're a jerk? Look what the Bible says. Here's a much more direct example. First Peter 3:7, and it picks on us guys. But look what it says. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Why? Check this out. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. You're saying, wait a minute. My relationship and my marriage will affect my prayers? There it is. I mean, there, you can't get much more direct than that. Maybe your broken relationship, you know, marriage in this case, or whatever, is keeping God from answering. A second reason why God may not be answering your prayer or may not have answered your prayer is maybe you have the wrong motives. We do see that in the Bible. The Pharisees prayed with wrong motives all the time, and Jesus was constantly irritated by that. They would pray long, loud prayers in order to be, you know, get the praise of men. They did it because, you know, to get credit for being so spiritual, and they'd rehearse them, and they pray these wonderful big prayers, and they would get the applause of people. Others selfishly pray to get stuff. Look what James 4:3 says. It says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Can anybody say lottery? Right? Please God, help me to win the lottery. If you help me to win the lottery, I'll give you 10%, you know. God, help me to... I'm more spiritual. God, help me to win the lottery. I'll give you half of it. Do you notice? Nobody ever prays, Lord, help me to win the lottery, and I'm going to give it all to you. Nobody ever prays that, right? The truth of it is why? We don't pray, help me win the lottery, and I'll give you every single penny of it. My favorite is, God, help my team to win. I mean, I got $100 in it. You know, help them to win, God. They're better than, you're more right. In fact, there's even a Christian or two on that team, you know. Right? Ridiculous. But some of you, and I'm getting, want to get a little personal. God, you may be praying, God, bless my business. God, bless my business. And yet you're not giving to him. You know, you're not even willing to give as God blesses you, you know. You're not willing to give as your God has blessed you now, you know. I had somebody ask me, a tithe is a good place to start. It's a good guideline. But God says in the New Testament, give as you've been blessed. Somebody asked me, they said, I'm without a job. I said, in fact, I'm not even getting, unemployment right now. What do I do? So I said, well, let's just use the tithe, 10% as a guide. So 10% of zero is, right? If what God's given you right now, because sometimes it's like, boy, God, if you help me get this big sale, if you help me get this big promotion, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give. I'm going to be more faithful. It's like God says, no, do it now. That's why I think our motives sometimes are bad. And that's why, now let me say this. I can't judge motives. You and I, we can, sometimes we'll can discern things, but I can't judge motives. And you can't really judge motives, but God certainly can. Look at Proverbs 16:2. It says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So maybe God's not answering because, a broken relationship or impure motives. Maybe number three, maybe the reason why God didn't answer your prayer is maybe you don't believe God will do it. Maybe you're not believing that God will do it. Maybe you don't really believe that God's going to answer your prayer. Mark 9 talks about a guy who came with his son and the boy was possessed with an evil spirit. And I can't imagine, you've probably been through difficult things as parents with your kids, but could you imagine just having that? And he's possessed with the evil spirit, and he comes to Jesus. And I think only a parent could really know the trauma and the hopelessness of that, emotional burden that would come. And the dad's willing to do anything. So when he comes to Jesus, the man approaches Jesus. And this is what he says. He says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Now, Jesus kind of questions, we go on, Jesus kind of questions his doubts. You're coming to the Son of God, creator of the universe, and saying, if you have the ability to do anything, it would really be nice. And Jesus says, if you can. And Jesus said, everything is possible to him who believes. Him who believes what? Him who believes it can happen? Him who believes in Christ. The guy wasn't recognizing who Jesus was. He said, hey, you trust me, you believe me, I can do it. Anything is possible, see? So what am I saying? Your faith matters when you pray. Over and over in Scripture, we see this, that our faith plays a very important role in our praying. Jesus told the disciples, they came back frustrated, they say, we couldn't cast out demons, what's going on? And Jesus said, it was because of your lack of faith. When Jesus told them that they were going to forsake him, when he's meeting in the upper room and he says, all of you are going to forsake me. And you know what he gave as the reason? He says, you're going to forsake me, all during the trial and everything, because he said, you're going to lose faith. Our relationship with God is, of course, and the Bible tells us to walk by faith. And the Bible says we can't please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the challenge is that there are people who call themselves Christians that aren't really believing God's going to do anything. I heard a great story about a church. There was a bar really close on that same block, and it irritated the pastor, you know, because all these people would come and they would drink and whatever. And so he just said, you know, that's it. Next prayer meeting, I'm going to mention this. And so he gets up at the weekly prayer meeting. He says, you know, I'm just so irritated with that bar down the street. He says, would you guys all pray that bar will shut down or that God will do something with that bar? So they all broke up into little groups and they prayed or whatever. And then that was it. The next night, lightning comes, strikes the bar, burns it to the ground. Well, the bar owner hears about this prayer meeting that had happened the day before, and he sues the church. He sues the pastor. And the pastor says, hey, we're just having an innocent little prayer meeting. Yeah, we mentioned it, but look, hey, we really didn't think God was going to do anything. And the judge is sitting there just kind of flabbergasted and has this puzzled look on his face. And finally, the guy that was there with them says, what's the matter? He goes, I'm amazed. I said, here I've got a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a pastor who doesn't. The fact of the matter is, sometimes we just don't believe. We think, well, yeah, we'll shoot up a prayer. I mean, you know, it's kind of lucky thing, you know. But the fact of the matter is there are people who say they're Christian, really don't believe the power of prayer. And what do we say? We say things like, oh, it's really bad. Things have really, really gotten bad. We've done everything we can. All we can do now is just pray. Like that's the last resort. I always hate it when couples walk into my office. And if you're in this situation, I don't mind you walking into my office. But I always say, okay, pastor, you're our last resort. We've tried everything else. Now you're our last resort. I always feel so much pressure. I'm like, okay, I've got to save this. But isn't that sometimes we do with that with prayer? Okay, we've tried everything. We've done everything. We've manipulated every situation we possibly can do. And well, now all we can do is pray. Right? It's gotten that bad. We've got to pray. That's how bad it's gotten. Now, I want to make a point here when we talk about faith, because There is a movement. There is a teaching called Word Faith or Word of Faith. It's a movement, and there's, you know, people that you may even see on television or whatever, and you may not pick it up in a broadcast or something like that. But it teaches that if you just say the words and believe that God is forced to do it, if you say, you know, a prayer, God has to do it. It sometimes people call it the name it and claim it group or whatever, the word of faith group. You know, just name it, claim it, and it's got to happen. That's how I got Cindy. I just named her and claimed her. That was, you know, how it happened. And she was forced, you know. You're thinking nobody in their right mind. But anyway, that's a whole different issue. But it's just like this. And you throw in Jesus' name, then God has absolutely no choice. You say, I believe this. God's going to, in Jesus' name, and it has to happen. Okay? We have to be so careful here, and I want to say this in all respect, you know, God is not our cosmic sugar daddy, okay? God is not a vending machine that if we say the right magic words or put in the right magic, you know, statement, that suddenly God's got to do this. God's not there to serve us. We're here to serve him. So we have to know that. So, you know, and I've had people say, why didn't God heal my grandmother, you know, my 97-year-old grandmother? Why didn't God heal her? And sometimes I have to say, because she was 97. It's appointed unto man once to die. You know, it's still, that's the statistic, one out of one. You know, it's a pretty much a universal deal. None of us get out of here alive. And the fact of the matter is sometimes that's just, it's, you know, God's time. But the fact is sometimes, you know, we can get in that mode like God has to do it. And I'm going to show you in a minute. God loves us too much to give us everything we ask for. He loves us way, way too much. So I just had to mention that because our faith, but let me come back to this. Our faith affects our prayer life. It really does. I wish I could explain it better, but really only God can. But maybe God didn't answer your prayer because you asked kind of half-hearted, you know? And perhaps maybe it was just, yeah, and you'd really, it's kind of like the demon-possessed man with his son. That's my point. If you can do anything, God, it'd be really nice if you could, God says we're to live by faith. We walk by faith. We pray by faith, even when we ask for wisdom and direction from God. Look what he says, James 1, 6 and 7. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. And you say, but man, there are times when I really struggle with my belief. You know, that's when I love the prayer of the man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That God loves. Lord, I have faith in you. Yes, Lord, I believe in you. Help my lack of faith. You know, that in itself, praying that, is an exercise of faith. Just saying, God, I want more faith. I want what you have for me, why didn't God answer my prayer? Maybe you're thinking, hey, okay, my relationships are good as far as I can, tell, and as far as is lies within me. I'm trying to live peaceably with all people. I really think I asked God with the right motives. I really did believe God could do this. I really did all I could. I asked in faith. Now I'm wondering, what? Okay? Perhaps, number four, God maybe has something different. I hope you know that God's will matters more than our will. That may, be the understatement of the century. God's will matters more than my will. God's will matters more than your will. Even though we think we know what's best, even though in our minds this is the right thing, God's will matters. Look at this in 1 John 5, 14, 15. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We have confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and we have what he asked for. We know from Scripture there are some things you can pray for and you absolutely positively know that you are asking for God's will. Anytime I ask for God to save somebody, I ask for them to receive Christ, I know I'm asking something in God's will. Why? Because God says he's not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. So whenever you find something in Scripture that says pray for this, God wants this, then you know. But I think of people in the Bible who prayed humanly speaking, I would have answered any prayer. Think of the Apostle Paul. I mean, seriously. Wrote, 2/3 of the New Testament? Greatest missionary ever, I mean, the guy was pretty significant, I think. You'd say that. And he was so amazing. And in my opinion, God should have answered every single prayer he asked for. I mean, he gave his life. I mean, there's one point where it's even debated by scholars where it says they would have left him for dead. Some think he was even dead. And he got raised. I mean, he was shipwrecked. He even tells, he was beaten, imprisoned, all kinds of things. That's the kind of guy, if I was God, I'd say, sure. Paul, just ask for it. Your heart's right. You're working for me. Do that. But in 2 Corinthians 12, it said that Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what it is. There was something physical, some ailment, some condition, whatever, that he had. And he just said it was just really bugging him. Any of you had things like that? It's just like, wow, this is so irritating. I look at my thorn in the flesh of, with my vascular, I've got a vascular disease, and so I have to, here I am, 50 years old and I got to wear compression stockings. It's like, isn't that wonderful? You know what everybody says to me when I tell them I have to wear compression stockings? Oh yeah, my grandma has to wear those. Thank you very much. Twist, yeah. But so you think, oh, this is really irritating to have to do this. And some of you have things like that. And Paul said, this is really getting in the way of me being able to do stuff. But it's interesting that before that, Paul realizes on the backside of the story, he says, so that I wouldn't get proud, so that I wouldn't get all puffed up, God sent me a thorn in the flesh. So he's got this physical condition, and he prays and he begs and he asks the Lord 3 times to take it away. Take it away, Lord. Take it away. Please take it away. And you know what? God didn't do it. He didn't do what Paul knew God could do, of course, and what Paul thought he should do. Instead, God did something very different. It wasn't Paul's plan. It wasn't his idea. But God taught Paul what? Something huge, something big. He said, I'm going to teach you that my grace is big enough for anything. The way God answered that prayer then enabled us, Paul, listen to this, to be stronger and to have more of an effective ministry than he ever would have without it. The way God answered that prayer was enabling Paul to be much more of the person God intended him to be. And that may be the case for us. You may have heard this poem before. I came across it and I just thought it was good. It's a prayer that says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, but I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life, and that made me enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, and I am among all men most richly blessed. And I know some of you have been very disappointed in the way prayers have come out. You prayed, God, oh, let us get this house. This is our dream house. Let us get this. Oh, Lord, this job would be perfect. And I don't even have to commute very far. Fill in the blanks, right? Lord, I just want this part of my health back. I'll tell you, praying for my mom over the last number of years has just messed with my head and my heart, you know. One of the most devoted servants of Christ I've ever met, my mom, you know, teaching and ministering to kids and adults alike, ministering to women, whatever, she gets fibromyalgia. Well, that's all right. We're gonna suck it up and we're going to keep going and we're just going to muscle through this. And those of you who have battled that, like, right, you know. The good days, the bad days, unpredictable pain, just all that. And then, but I'm going to just keep working, keep serving. Okay, God, well, all right, that's her little thorn in the flesh. And then she gets diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. And even this week, I was talking to her on the phone. She goes, yeah, well, they're bringing in a hospital bed for me. And it's like I'm going to have to be, you know, get a scooter. And I'm thinking all this and I go, God, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. How can you be glorified in this? You know, God's got a different plan. His plan's different, you know. Would I like to have seen her healed? Yes. Would she? I think she'd probably be okay with that. But you know what? I talk to her and I'm thinking, she is inside stronger. I think, and her ministry is widening. Why? She's never in all of her life, in all of my life, all my 50 years, I've never seen my mom depressed, have to struggle with depression. She goes, this is a weird thing for me, struggling with depression. And you know what? Now she understands people like she never did before. She understands pain and pain, people in pain like she never understood before. She feels like her ministry's squashed because she can't get to the church and do all this stuff. But the people she can minister to is just broadening. And do I understand all the nuances? No, I sure don't. But you know what? Jesus, when we see him is the human side coming out, when he's praying for us in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember? He's praying for us. And right before he's going to die, right before he goes on trial, and he knows what's coming, unlike us, we don't know all that's coming. He knew what was coming. He says this, Father, Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Wow, I'm glad God did his will instead of letting that cup pass from him. That changed my eternity, you know. And you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, and I got to tell you, I understand. And I'm not just saying that. I really, honestly understand. And I'm here to tell you, he's good. So let me summarize this way. What do I believe about prayer? Prayer reminds me something important, that I'm not in control, and it keeps me in close of the one who is. Okay? Because I sometimes think, well, I pray to get stuff. No, no, no. We pray to get God. We pray to get in connection with him and to find out his will. And that's what Jesus was doing. Not my will, yours be done. And I don't say that enough in my prayers. I say please and thank you. But wow, in the middle, it looks a lot like gimme, right? I need, hurry, right? prayer is not as much about my wants as it is God's will. And just the fact that God, the God of the universe, gives me access to him, that should kind of blow me away anyway. It doesn't matter by just saying hello. The God of the universe, are you kidding us, is letting us come boldly, confidently into his throne. And we can have access to him. I think it's amazing, you know, that. And we forget that. And I can't even understand that. My finite mind can't even understand that. That the very God of the universe is listening to me. And when I pray and something doesn't go the way I want it, there's a big prayer need that I have. I think of some guys in Daniel chapter 3. I try to think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. And there were three Hebrew teenagers, if you're not familiar with the story, three Hebrew teenagers, and they stood before the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. He had raised an idol. He had raised a giant statue, and when he walked by, everybody was supposed to bow. It was really kind of bowing to him, you know, worshiping him. But it was an idol. And when the king told them to bow to the idol, the idol that was raised up, they didn't. They stayed standing. And he said, do you not realize what this means, that I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace? And they said, hey, we don't care. Look what these guys said. These young men were facing death. In other words, they had real problems, I think we could say. Here's what they said. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us. But even if he does not, we will not serve your God. I love that. Three things you've already caught probably. Number one, I believe God can. I believe all things are possible with God and that God can answer my prayer. And I believe he can answer your prayer. Secondly, I believe God will answer my prayer. And you believe God will answer. I believe he is a good God who desires to bless his children. But let me tell you, number three, even if he doesn't, I still believe. I will never stop believing. I will never stop believing in God who answered the prayer that changed my life for all of eternity 40 years ago next week. September 24th, 1972, I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked him to save me, to forgive me of my sin. I want to be one of your children. And I prayed that, and that's a prayer God answers every single time. So I believe God can, and I believe he will. But if he doesn't, I still believe. God is good. God is great. And he's always good, no matter what. Let's bow for just a minute, because I want to ask you something. I don't want this to put to be, but how many of you say, you know, I can identify with you. How many of you prayed a prayer God didn't answer? Did you just raise your hand? Okay, I think we're shooting 100% here. Now, I want to ask you something. How many of you are praying for something right now? Right now. You haven't got an answer yet, or it feels like he hasn't answered yet. Okay, I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for all of us right now. Lord, you know hearts and you know lives. You know what each person's praying for. You know their hurt. You know that emptiness they may feel. You know that frustration. You know the pain. It may be something physical, Lord. But Lord, they're seeking you. And so I pray, Father, that you'd hear them. We know you can do it. We know you will do it. But even if you don't, Lord, we want to express right now, we believe. Jesus, we love you. We need you. There's one last reason why God might not answer our prayers, and that is this. And I don't say this to be insulting, I'm just telling you from Scripture. Maybe you don't know Christ yet. I'm not saying you don't know about him. You know a little bit about him just from being here, perhaps, but maybe you don't know Christ. John 9:31 says, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly men who do his will. Now, you may say, sinners, aren't we all sinners? Yes. He's not saying that anybody who's ever sinned, he doesn't listen to. Those who have not turned to Christ, that's what the point is that Jesus is making in this context, that it's the person, and you say, well, I don't really think of myself as godly. If you've accepted Christ, his righteousness was put on your life. It was imputed on you. It was put on you. His righteousness, his death on the cross causes us to be right with God so we don't do it on our own. Look what Jesus, here's a prayer Jesus always, always, always answers. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He mentions faithful and just. In other words, he's faithful to do it and he has the right to do it, right? Because he's perfect. So he has not only the ability as the perfect God of the universe, but he can also judge this. He is faithful and just and will forgive. Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again to make sure that that could happen. And John 1:12 is a promise. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. So you can give your heart to Christ today. You can give him your life today. Surrender to him. He is a good guide, and he wants to guide you. He is a great God, and he wants to be all that you need to be. Let's bow one more time. Can we?